Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupps.
All righty, friends, welcome. It is the end of the week, and you know what that means. It's Freedom Friday, where I give you the, well, the freedom, which we celebrate every day here on Political Coffee. But Fridays are special because I give you the freedom to call and talk about anything political you want to talk about. Whatever's on your mind, whatever you want to get off your chest, you can just do it today. So pick up the phone. Give me a call. 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Or you can just send me an email to jeff@1220.am. I got an email from Dave, which I'll read from you. It is about one of the things we were talking about yesterday, but it relates to some stories that are kind of out there today that, well, we could maybe talk about. For instance, I want you to think, there's a story in the Albany Democrat Herald that is from the Capitol Bureau, which is an amalgam of a whole bunch of newspapers that have reporters. And it's about the recall petition being signed for Kate Brown. And it's about what's there in the, at the State Fair, where they were gathering signatures. And they, these couple of reporters interviewed about 30 people who were signing petitions at the Marion County Republican Party booth. So a lot of people say this, and I wonder if you think this is an effective reality. Maybe not an effective message, but effective reality. You think people think that Kate Brown and her regressive totalitarian Marxists that she is in perfect league with in the Oregon legislature, that, you know, that they have turned Oregon into a tax-happy, gun-hating, business-killing liberal haven? Let me say that again. Do you think that there is enough of that reasonable sentiment that, I mean, really seriously, do you think there are enough people out there that believe that Kate Brown is responsible for turning Oregon into a tax-happy, gun-hating, business-killing liberal haven? Now, I mean, to be honest with you, if you're anyone who's moderate to certainly those of us who are more on the conservative side of things, certainly, I mean, there's two or three stories today that you can see on OregonWatchdog.com about the urban-rural divide and that the rural areas of Oregon still have not recovered from the Great Recession. I've been telling you this, and all you need to do to confirm it is drive around the rural areas of the state. Look at the empty storefronts. I'm quite serious. Even some rural communities that are not that far from the Portland metro area. So there is an underlying belief, and it's partly what's, I guess, borne out in the comments that they quote in this story. People don't think that Kate Brown cares about him. So do you think that that's an effective message? I mean, there's another story with a great picture of Kate Brown, and I say it's a great picture because this I intend to use against her. It's an awful picture. It's an OPB story, and the headline of the story is Oregon Governor Signs $1 billion Education Bill on the First Day of School. Well, this is the $1 billion sales tax bill, okay? This is the grocery receipts tax. Is the bill the one that you voted against, likely, 3 years ago? Uh-huh, that one. Well, she signs it. And the one that we tried to recall, right? I mean, we tried to repeal it, rather, by starting the repeal effort, the referral. And then, of course, the Democrats then passed subsequent bills that sabotaged it, made it impossible, really, to do. Okay, which is very dangerous for any, it needs to be challenged in the court, and it won't be because nobody's going to do it, sadly. But anyway, she's celebrating this incredible expensive tax that's going to cost you a lot of money, you and your family. And the picture of her is guffawing, and she just looks. I mean, there's all these smiling black kids behind her because she had to, of course, go to a black school that is recognized, by the way, for being a pretty good school. It's a Jefferson High School that is increasing its graduation rate. Good for them. Kudos for them, because that's what we should be doing. But does it relate to more money? Or does it relate to teachers doing a better job and administrators getting out of the way and curriculum directors not demanding that race, reproduction, or recycling be the only thing these kids are taught rather than reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? I mean, it's a classic story, and if you can go to OregonWatchdog.com and click on it. The headline, again, is Oregon Governor Signs Billion-Dollar Education Bill. The headline should be Oregon Governor Signs Billion-Dollar Sales Tax Raising Your Cost of Living on First Day of School. That's what it ought to be. At any rate, so Kate is just there guffawing about how wonderful this is. Here's my prediction to you on this story, by the way. Here's my prediction that in the next couple of years, I mean, this tax does not start until January 1, 2020. The money's got to start flowing in from businesses that will just turn around and pass it on to you. So you're going to pay more starting in January of 2020. Now, the money will start coming in. Did you know that the Oregon legislature has already taken money and diverted it? Yes, they have, folks. They've diverted some of this money already. You see, before the end of the legislative session, they removed about $632 million out of the K-12 budget. And they put it somewhere else. Now, where would that money go? Now, the reason they did that is because they backfilled it with the expectation of this money right here. And the story goes on to talk because it's OPB, folks. Okay. It's liberal, far-left OPB. But it was funded by your tax dollars, by the way. Did you know that? Yeah, no. Anyway, OPB. So they laud all the wonderful things this is going to do. And, you know, here's what my prediction to you. My prediction to you is this. As we go along, we will be able to show that most school districts did not put the money into the classroom. They'll put some of it into the classroom. My guess is that most of it is going to be sucked up by increased PERS costs. Oregon Connections Academy is this great online public charter school. Public charter school. I'm one of the founders of it in 2005 when I was serving in the House of Representatives. Our PERS rate, and we don't have as high as PERS rate as many districts do, just went up 6 percentage points this year alone. I told this to you yesterday. For every dollar of wages that we pay a teacher at Oregon Connections Academy, and we have 200 employees, folks. We have 4,500 kids was what our ending enrollment was, and next week we start school. And we'll start less than that, but, you know, kids keep flowing in through the year. And 200 employees. For every dollar that we pay an employee, it costs us 53 cents. In benefits, it's health insurance, that's Social Security, retirement, PERS, retirement. And that's the biggest cost of it, 53 cents on the dollar. It's a lot. It's an awful lot. So what my prediction to you is this. You're going to see, and I really believe this, we will see absolute evidence at the district-wide level, that there was, Salem-Keizer will probably do this because it's natural. These school districts, some of these school districts, like Salem-Keizer, for instance, has a lot of Tier 1, Tier 2 retirees, and these are the people that, through no fault of their own, and if you're a Tier 1, Tier 2 person listening to me right now, I don't blame you at all for this. You signed up for things like Money Match and so forth, and many of you are going to be able to retire as over, I believe the number is over 10,000 PERS retirees in the system, state, local employees, have already retired with 100% of their salary. Now, you know as well as I do that the PERS system was never meant to do that, but it did. That's how it worked out. Because they gamed the system, the PERS board was filled with PERS people and you know, on the employer side, state agency people, and certainly employees. Right, union folks. And I'm going to tell you, because I sat on that board as a non-voting legislator for a number of years, the PEB board, 8 years I was on that board. And I just will tell you, folks, that the PERS board made a lot of bad decisions. Some of that, the course reversed. But it's led to, again, to those of you who are in PERS or Tier 1, Tier 2, you simply took advantage of what was presented to you, and you trusted, like we all did, that these people knew what they were doing. They didn't. And now we have this massive $27 billion, and if you listen to the uber-liberal Pew Research Organization, they say it's closer to $70 billion in unfunded PERS liability. That costs schools a lot of money. And if you're looking at Salem-Keizer, which has had a lot of teachers retire, they've been in the system a long time, good for them. So they're retiring, and so the more of those that you have, the higher your PERS rate becomes. So where's that money going to go? All this new money from the sales tax is going to raise your cost of living, according to the state of Oregon, by 4% every year. Okay? Where's that money going to go? Well, where do you think it's going to go? I'll tell you where it's going to go. It's going to go into backfilling PERS at the local level. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. We'll go to the phones. Good morning, caller. What's on your mind on Freedom Friday?
Hello.
Who are you, by
Michelle?
The way?
I'm Michelle from here in Salem.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome. And what's on your mind today on Freedom Friday?
Well, actually, it's from yesterday. We were talking about the governor, okay, and getting back to these votes and everything. I think yesterday you were talking about why would she be doing, hold on just a minute, why sure. She would be doing, I thought I was on speaker, sorry.
No, that's okay. Thank you for doing that, though, because that's very annoying when somebody has it on in the background.
Yeah. Anyway, why would she be doing this special session
right.
to fix the problem? And my feelings are the reasons why. Number one, I would totally distrust her during the session because it's like dangling a carrot to make sure she has a quorum. And she could raise anything else while everybody is there, and you can't very well leave once you've assembled. And so I would mistrust her in that regard. And then second, I think it has a lot to do, or could have a lot to do, with her wanting to do some public goodwill by issuing the refunds, making people happy. And I would wonder when they were going to get it and the timing of the next election. So I think it's to garner goodwill as well as to fix the problem. And she could use that to her favor, saying, well, I fixed that problem. I stood up and I fixed the problem. And then she can also use the kickback in her any future campaign situation. And
like if she has to defend herself on a recall. Thank you, my dear. I appreciate your call. We're at the break, 6:20 in the morning. Great comments. And I'll comment on that when we come back.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 past the hour. You can also send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. Jeff at 1220.am. And I'll read Dave's emails from yesterday because it relates to the same thing that our caller was saying. It was the special session topic. Now, a caller brought up a great point. Actually, a couple of great points here. Kate knows, she doesn't know how many real signatures that the Oregon Republican Party or flush down Kate Brown, Michael Cross's effort and others, has really gotten in terms of this business of recalling her. She doesn't know. She has to take this somewhat seriously. Oh, yeah, the story today that's in the Albany Democrat Herald about how they interviewed these people at the Oregon State Fair, going to the Marion County GOP booth and for, you know, signing the recall petition and the reasons why. And her spokesman, Thomas Wheatley, says, we're not taking it seriously. Yeah, well, wrong. They are. And it's driving a lot of what Kate Brown has done. And that includes what the caller said is her trying to get some goodwill by not going after the kicker. But the caller's right. You see, in a special session, anything can happen. Seriously. And with this crew of retro Bolsheviks running the Oregon legislature, trying to ram down our throats everything you possibly can imagine, every far-left radical stupid idea is basically has been introduced, and most of it rammed down our throats. That's why you can't trust Kate Brown and the ruling regressive totalitarian bureaucrats and legislators. Notice how I lumped those together? There's a reason I did that. We'll have to talk about that some other time. But here's the reality, folks. You can't trust them. Anything that happens, anything can happen in a special session. Because once you get in the door, you know what they can do? They can lock the doors. It's called a call of the House or a call of the Senate. And literally, once you get on the floor, they will not let you off of the floor. Now, it's not as bad in the state of Oregon, because under our Constitution, you cannot amend bills on the floor or of the House or the Senate. Okay, you have to do it in committee. Like in Washington State, I've been up in Washington State on their legislative floor on the House side, and you can amend bills on the floor. Now, the scary thing about that is that once you're under a call of the House or the Senate, you can't leave the floor except to go to the bathroom. That's it. And with the force of law and the state police, they can keep you there. So they could introduce, they could pull bills out of committee that might have been introduced. Or they literally could establish a committee, and the committee could meet on the floor. Now, this is what's possible, folks. Most of you don't know this. They could meet on the floor. Been done before, actually. And they could, quote unquote, suspend the rules, because you suspend the rules with just a simple vote. Once you have quorum, you open the door for all this. They suspend the rules, allow a bill to be introduced, allow it to immediately be heard, a committee to be formed, and you quote unquote hold a public hearing. Nobody's there to testify. Why? Because you suspend the rules. It can happen that fast. I'm not kidding you. It could. So you're right not to trust Kate. Because once Republicans get inside the building, they're there and they can be held there. The other thing is the timing of this is absolutely correct. Caller, you're 100% correct. Because you see, Kate's trying to do this to try to show goodwill. Why? Because the Republicans and Michael Cross are out there gathering recall petitions against her. And that leads me to Dave's email. So, Jeff, I don't think the Republicans should go to a special session if it isn't to kill the bad bill. They didn't work on it. Why help change it? They should spend 3 days at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge in Kate's career where it started. Will she have them ambushed? How many patriots would show up to confront the police? I don't think the Democrats will touch the kicker after Kate Brown is recalled. Well, excellent, but that's kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know, go to the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Let's see. Isn't that federal territory? Wonder what it would take. Would Donald Trump be able to say to Kate Brown and the Oregon State Police, sorry, you can't go in and get the Oregon Republican senators or House members that are on federal property? Now, wouldn't that be fun? I love the creativity of some of our listeners. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. It is Freedom Friday. You can call or email and talk about anything politically you want to talk about. Let me throw this out to you, by the way, on the recall business. If you're the Oregon Republican Party, would you dare put out there numerous stories, including, you know, one that we talked about yesterday, that is a news story that's referenced today in this OPB story. Would you dare put it out there that you are, in fact, on track to get enough signatures to recall Kate Brown? Would you dare do that if you were lying about it? I mean, you wouldn't be. I mean, I know Bill Currier, who's the chairman of the Oregon Republican Party. He doesn't lie. He's not a liar. He would never do that and say that. Why would you risk it? I mean, think about it. You would have no credibility in public. You would have no credibility with your own party. The damage it would do to your party if you were, if it was perceived or be proven that you were lying about that. This is why I'm telling you, Kate Brown took several days to respond to this whole business about that death penalty nullification bill, because she was polling it, and she was polling it in relation to not just the damage to the Democrats, but would it move people to sign the recall petitions? I'm telling you, folks, and maybe the story will come out about this, you know, if some enterprising reporter is actually looking at her expenditures on Orstar, to see if she spent any money during that time doing what? Polling. Like she has been, as previous stories have shown. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? We'll be back in the moment, friends. It is 6:30. Don't you go away. You never know what might happen. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. You can also send me an email on Freedom Friday. That's the day we celebrate freedom in a special way. I give you the freedom as your humble radio talk show host. I give you the freedom to talk about anything politically you want to talk about today. It doesn't have to be what I got on my plate. It's whatever you want to talk about. That's why we call it Freedom Friday. 503-589-1220 or send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. In a moment, we're going to go to Rebecca. But first, I want to remind you that if you're thinking about trying CBD kind of products, why don't you go talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial, South Salem, right next to Safeway. Yesterday, I stopped by there and met a very nice young lady behind the counter. And I like the tincture. It works really well for me. So I was out and I bought some more 500 milligram full spectrum blueberry flavored, which is wonderful, by the way, tincture. Went out into my pickup, put a little under my tongue, let it sit there, and within minutes, the pain that I've been having a lot, just because I'm an active guy and I sometimes do things I shouldn't do. And, well, you know, the pain results from it. So the pain went away. I'm quite serious, folks. I'm not kidding you. This is real. And if you've not tried it, you ought to. Go on, talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. They've got creams, you know, you could rub in. You've got arthritic joints that are hurting you, or the tinctures like I take. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial. Let's go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, good morning. What's on your mind today?
Morning. I'm calling because the things that you're talking about are very distressing. But on top of that, I don't like that our governor used to be in charge of Planned Parenthood here in Oregon. And when you have Planned Parenthood in charge of our school children, they do things to get the kids sexually active, and so that produces more abortion. What they do is have quotas. A lot of people don't realize that Planned Parenthood works with quotas. They want to have more abortions happening, and so they do things to get the kids sexually active. The Planned Parenthood director, Carol Everett, she had 5 abortion clinics that she ran. She said that every high school girl, she wanted to have them have 5 abortions before they graduated high school. Kindergarten.
Where did she say that? Is that a quote in a news story, whatever? I mean, that's a pretty radical thing to say.
Carol Everett was brought to Oregon years ago by Oregon Right to Life. And Carol Everett became a Christian and left being a clinic owner.
She has said this, and you can prove she said that?
Carol Everett wrote a book called Blood Money, and she was brought to Oregon by Oregon Right to Life. And it's just basically the fox is guarding the hen house.
I agree.
And if you go look at what the Democrats have done to the law in Oregon regarding the definition of marriage and the definition of parents, and they've redefined, let's say, the biological father. I can't find him in the law anymore, but yet they took out the words father and mother from the law in Oregon, and instead they have put into place paragraphs describing the kinds of people that now have the rights of fatherhood. For instance, someone holding the turkey baster is now defined as being a father in Oregon. And I encourage people to go read the law, the way the Democrats have changed it.
Rebecca, are you saying that Oregon statute now says if you're holding a turkey baster, you're defined as a father?
Go read the law. I read the law one time. You know, I'm active with Oregon Citizens Lobby. When they were changing a part of it, you know, like they just changed bits and pieces here and there, and they've taken out the words father and mother from the law that defines what a father and mother are.
Now, why would they do that?
And when I was reading this, I was just appalled because now they've added paragraphs of definitions of who is a parent, they don't have fathers and mothers anymore in the law.
That's right. We've all got to be gender neutral these days. Rebecca, thank you. I appreciate
you. It was because of the Oregon Citizens Lobby, and I was reading one of the laws that they were trying to pass at that time, and so I went and read the law that surrounds that. I was just appalled. Anyway.
Thank you, Rebecca. Make your last point, and then I got to let you go.
She was the head of Planned Parenthood, and so her goals for Oregon are not my goals.
Oh, amen to that. Absolutely. And they shouldn't be involved in our schools at all. Rebecca, thank you very much. Got to let you go. That's Rebecca's thoughts today. Freedom Friday. You can call and talk about anything you want to talk about. Along that vein, it's interesting that in talking with a school administrator, shared with me, they had a conversation with a friend of theirs who's a school administrator in a school district that shall remain nameless, but if I said it, you would know it. And what they are teaching, I believe, 6th graders in health class. And in this particular school district has decided that their teachers teaching sex education are going to use some props, stuff that shouldn't be taught to a 6th grader. And apparently they're doing this. Now, that falls in line and is absolute proof of exactly what Rebecca was just talking about. This is, I mean, ultimately, friends, the impact on society and our culture, I mean, we're already seeing it, and we're going to see more of it until we change it. Now, this is exactly why we have, you know, people leaving, parents homeschooling and trying other schools. I would tell you, at Oregon Connections Academy, we're an online school, but our curriculum doesn't do that, okay? And it is wholly inappropriate, and we would not have that being taught in our school because it doesn't have to be taught that way. I mean, you can talk about these things, and the state only prescribes to a point so far what you talk about. For instance, however, how long would it be until we get some law being introduced here in Oregon? I mean, we just had a law that prescribes appropriately that the Holocaust has to be taught, right? Because what we know is that they have stopped teaching it. Politically correct, liberal teacher union driven curriculum, and that's exactly what it is, folks. All of it is teaching, they've stopped teaching what the Holocaust was. We had to pass a law for that. So is it a stretch to think that we would probably pass a law that would say, wait for it, that becoming gay is something you're born with? Huh? Now, why would I say that? Well, because there's a story on Hot Air today that, here's the headline, the gay gene, we've heard about that, right? You're born gay, the gay gene, is a total myth. A massive study concludes. Okay, that's the headline. Now, the pull quote from this story is this, and I'm quoting from this study, okay? The researchers could not find any one gene linked with same-sex sexual behavior. Five genetic variants did appear significantly linked to sexual orientation, and thousands more were seemed involved to a lesser extent. In the end, the scientists could not find, now listen to this, in the end, the scientists could not find any genetic patterns that could be used in any way to identify a person's sexual orientation. Instead, the predisposition to same-sex sexual behavior appeared influenced by a complex mix of genetic and environmental influences. They note, by the way, that's also the case for many other human traits, like your height. The study quotes here from the uber conservative Broad Institute of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and that other bastion of conservative thought, Harvard, told the Live Science reporter, which is the one who wrote all this. Here's the quote from Ben Neal, who is the study co-author. He's a statistical geneticist at MIT and Harvard. He said this, quote, it's effectively impossible to predict an individual's sexual behavior from their genome, unquote. Have you seen that anywhere, folks? I haven't. I've not seen that reported on Fox News, but you just heard it here. Is it a stretch to think that you would someday see a law proposed by the progressive totalitarian Marxist in the Oregon legislature to say that it's established fact, just like climate change, right? It's established fact. You're gay. Back in a moment. Call
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, last segment for today, friends. Last segment for this entire week. By the way, I want to remind you that you can catch these shows again with not just the evening replay at 6 in the evening, but we also podcast the show. So go to kslm.news, click on the podcast, find this show, Political Coffee, and you can scroll down and see the various shows. They're listed by date, and I also have the topics, the basic topics that we talk about in each of those shows. So you can go re-listen to the show again. If you want to catch something maybe that I said or somebody else said, maybe like what one of our callers has talked about today, and you can do that by going back to those shows and re-listening podcasts whenever you want. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am in a moment. We'll go back to the phones. You know, you get older in life and you start thinking about things like, okay, you know, eventually I'm going to quit working. That's called retirement. Well, do you ever wonder if you got enough money for retirement? Well, it's a reason you see a lot of older folks continuing to work well into their 70s and 80s, right? Because they have to. Now, wouldn't it be nice to have the assurance that you're going to have more in your retirement funds to live life the way you want, other than just Social Security? I mean, it's kind of going broke, isn't it? Well, it is. If you're worried that you don't have enough retirement funds, you should probably sit down and talk to my friend Fred Thompson, because he can help you with that. In fact, he can help you with it even if you're older. I'm not kidding you. They have products at New York Life, which Fred is an agent for, that can help you build for your retirement, even if you're older and maybe because of life circumstances or choices you've made, you don't have the retirement funds that you think you might need. Well, call Fred. He can come to your home, sit down and talk with you, find out what your needs are, and find a product that New York Life offers to meet your need. 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. Let's go to the phones and go to Art. Art, good morning, brother. What's on your mind today on Freedom Friday?
Happy Freedom Friday, Jeff. I'm still, you know, in favor of the Republicans saying, heck no, we're not going to come to a special session. It's in the Constitution of Oregon that the death penalty is legal. The people wanted it. So, you know, Kate and Democrats, if you want to change that, then ask the voters to change it. Don't you be having any special sessions to fix something that actually, in my opinion, is unconstitutional because the people have spoken. And for the Republican Party to say, okay, we're going to come back so you can fix your little screw-up there about the retroactive part, we're not going to do it. It's in the Constitution that the death penalty is legal and the Oregon citizens wanted it. So if you want to fix it, then either do it in the courts, find out the constitutionality of it, or put it to a vote by the Oregon citizens.
So do you think that that would, if Republicans did what you suggested, if they said, you know what, we're not coming into a special session unless you repeal this bill and put a referral out to the people of Oregon on the death penalty. Let the people decide. If Republicans said that, let me ask you two questions, Art. Number one, do you think it would force Democrats' hands to actually do it? And number two, would that be popular with the voters?
Well, I can say this, Jeff. When you bring the legislature in session, like you said, anything can happen.
That's right.
And I don't trust the Democrats to do anything. And therefore, I just wouldn't go into session. But I just plain say, hey, it's in the Constitution that the death penalty is legal, and the people of Oregon want it. And what you did anyway was create a law that went against what the people wanted. So if you want to fix it, then take it to court and get rid of it or whatever you want to do. But we're not going to condone any games being played by the Democratic Party. We want the Oregon citizens to be a part of this conversation.
Well said, Art. I think you're right on the money. Art, thanks. Have a great
weekend. Jeff.
Yeah, happy Labor Day weekend to you and your family and everybody that's listening. No, in all seriousness, I think that that is the right position to take here. And frankly, I think it would be popular with the voters. Because in doing so, think about the opportunity. If Carl Wilson, leader of the Republicans in the House, and Herman Bertzinger, leader of the Senate Republicans, got together and held a news conference, and they said, we're not coming in to special session to fix the Democrats' problem. They were warned about this. They did it anyway. This wasn't a mistake. So we're not going to help them fix their problem. Here's our conditions for coming in. We are not going to do anything other than vote in favor of repealing this bill, and we will vote in favor of sending a referral out to the voters and let the people of Oregon decide if Kate Brown's suspension of the death penalty is the right thing. If this death penalty nullification bill through the back door is the right thing. Let the voters decide. You know, if they had that conversation, if they came out and did that, man, it would be... I think Democrats would have to... Kate and the Democrats would have to cave. Kate's worry, folks. Again, I go back... This recall is having enormous implications here. Seriously. You got Republicans. There is no way that the Republican Party would be saying we're on track if they weren't to get the signatures. And I don't care what governors... Brown says in her campaign and her spokesman, they're worried about it, folks. And that's the leverage Republicans could use. And it works with voters because they say, quit trying to overturn the will of the voters. You did it. And they could bring up other things, like, for instance, the sales tax, like, for instance, illegal alien driver's licenses. What a great opportunity it could be for public relations to get their message out. And it would be totally free. It wouldn't cost them a penny. All they have to do is come to Salem and stand in front of a bunch of reporters. This isn't that hard. And I hope maybe they'll come together and do the right thing. And do that. Because I think it would force Kate's hand to the Democrats' hands. And it would certainly, I think, give some additional inspiration to those of us on the right side. Friends, get out there. Make it a wonderful Labor Day weekend. I'll be back Monday. I hope you are too. Be safe. Be blessed.